Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be always pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Today's readings have in common the resurrection. I'm sure you've worked that out, but I'd just like to say thank you to Pauline and to Brom for reading those marathon lessons today. Beautifully read. Thank you very much. The fact that they had the resurrection as a theme is perhaps not unsurprising in this fifth week of Lent, as we near to Easter and the death and resurrection of Christ. Yet there is much to consider beyond the simply raising back to the physical life that these accounts bring to us. Yes, there should be trust and belief in the resurrection to eternal life, as promised to us in the reality of our mortality. Remember, Lazarus, though raised from the dead once, did still come to his mortal death before being raised, we trust and believe, into eternal life with his friend and saviour, Jesus. And these resurrection passages the resurrection messages for us in these passages should be as much about our spiritual renewal and life for the remainder of our mortal days here on earth as it is about being raised to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus promises us resurrection at the end, but also, particularly through the message of John's Gospel, he promises us life now. So let's start with Ezekiel. A priest, as well as a prophet, being in an open graveyard would have been the most inhospitable place imaginable for him. For an ordinary Jew, coming into contact with the dead, however long past living these bones may have been, would have caused ceremonial uncleanliness. And for example, dry bones were left on the Baal altars in the reforms undertaken in the reign of King Josiah to prevent them from being used as altars again. And as a priest, Ezekiel would have been generally forbidden to even attend the funeral of one of his family members. Yet, here was God, bringing him amidst all these dry bones. Not even a trace of flesh or sinew remained. I wonder, if we miss revival and resurrection in our lives because we remain too safe. We keep ourselves within the safe limits, near to shore, so to speak, to avoid the storms of life. Yet, it is in the deep waters that there are plentiful fish to catch. Yes, there are storms and winds and waves against us, but that is when our reliance on ourselves is less certain, and our trust in God and his ways become more real. Too often our eyes are on the destination, and we miss the learning and experiences we gain from the journey. And it is perhaps not a coincidence that Bishop Gunny has called this next season of diocesan life as a church here in Essex and East London, travelling well together. Spiritual resurrection for us in our lives may take us to less comfortable and more challenging places. Places we may readily have avoided. People we may have perhaps shunned for the false pretense. We are more spiritually clean and holy if we keep well clear. And then God says to Ezekiel in verse 5, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. The Hebrew word for breath here, ruach, is translated in other places as wind or spirit. And the links to creation passages in Genesis will be obvious to the Jewish readers of the text. The Spirit of God hovering over the waters of the deep, the breath of God putting life into Adam. And for us also, it links to the day of Pentecost and the breath or wind of the Spirit passing over the disciples. In each instance, the resurrection and spiritual awakening came at a word. At creation, it all started with God saying, "Let there be light." With the valley of dry bones, nothing happened until Ezekiel spoke as he was commanded. In verse 7 of chapter 37, we read, "As I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone." And then, too, it was after Peter gave his sermon that the place where they were gathered shook, setting the anointing at Pentecost in motion. And Ezekiel, we should remember, as a prophet, was speaking at the time of the exile of the Israelite nation under the rule of Babylon. This exile community was a community that saw no way forward. They were without resources, without energy, without motivation, without a plan, and without hope. And the Christian hope of the resurrection is rightly proclaimed in the face of death of individuals. But a fuller understanding of resurrection should speak also about the death and resurrection of communities, where life and vitality are gone, completely gone, and then somehow reappear as a miracle without any visible means of support and hope. Do we not need to see resurrection life for our communities, not just for us as individuals at our life's end? We need to see resurrection life for our church communities that seem to be dwindling in numbers and vitality. We need to see resurrection life for our social communities, our localities of villages and towns, where consumer-minded attitudes demand lots but offer little to contribute. And indeed, to our global community, do we not need to see resurrection where international relationships are shredded by tensions and conflicts, and where greed and wastefulness favours the well-off and disinherits the poor? Like Ezekiel, prophesying hope and new life to these dead bones, and hope for the exiled Israelite nation. As Christians, we ought to be sharing our good news of life and resurrection. The good news of forgiveness and reconciliation between ourselves, yes, but also between ourselves and God. The chance of a fresh start where values of truth, justice and freedom reign in each and every place demonstrated through sacrificial love and compassion of his disciples, just as Jesus did. The breath of the Spirit from the four winds was summoned by Ezekiel's spoken words. What words and deeds of resurrection do we proclaim in our families, in our churches and in our communities? And indeed, how do we challenge and support our church leaders, our bishops and archbishops, to proclaim this resurrection hope in the public square, the public square of a broken world that needs so much hope at this time? I was drawn to the words and actions of disciple Thomas in our gospel passage. This doubting disciple, as we come to know him in the resurrection stories. Here he is with the other disciples, first cautioning Jesus from returning to the region, where he experienced trouble with the Jewish authorities. But then, in some sort of revealed new understanding, proclaiming boldly, "Let us go, that we may die with him." That's in verse 16 of John chapter 11. Had this doubting disciple seen something of Jesus' glory that was to be revealed through Lazarus? I think this is a challenge for us, for our faith. It should be strong in the face of opposition. Going with Jesus into these inhospitable places where we may indeed expect resistance and even persecution is the exact place with Jesus that we shall see signs of hope and new life. Perhaps we should be more like Thomas, not doubting, but courageous, knowing the challenges that may lay before us, but choosing to go anyway. Going not on our own, but in the company of Jesus. So as we begin this last part of the journey through Lent, this Passion Week, focusing on the suffering of Jesus, let us have not just in mind the hope of resurrection to eternal life for us at some future date, but have in mind the resurrection power that Jesus offers to bring new life to churches, communities, nations, and indeed the whole world. As we walk boldly with our Saviour into new places, perhaps where we have been avoiding to go, let us go, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life for us as individuals, but also our churches, community, our nation, and indeed all the nations of the world. Amen.